Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Supreme Court's rejection of New York Times reporter James Risen's claim of First Amendment protection of a source, which means the government can now compel the reporter to reveal his source or face jail time. Lisa Graves, the president of Progressive Inc., and a former Deputy Attorney General in the Justice Department, joins us to discuss the upholding of the U.S. Court of Appeals in Virginia's decision denying the existence of any reporter's privilege in the First Amendment or common law, and the Attorney General's recent remark that under his watch, no reporter doing his job is going to jail. Then we'll look into the Obama administration's plan to address climate change, with the EPA's new rules unveiled Monday to reduce CO2 emissions from coal-fired electrical plants by 30% from 2005 levels over the next 15 years. David Freeman, the former head of the Tennessee Valley Authority, New York Power, and the Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, joins us to discuss the political cost to Democrats in the coal states and whether eliminating coal plants and replacing them with natural gas-fired plants will reduce the current 40% of emissions from power plants that cause climate change, given the doubts about how much seepage of methane from the natural gas grid offsets the advantage of the smaller carbon footprint from burning natural gas. Then finally, we will talk with Jeremy Rifkin, the author of The Zero Marginal Cost Society, The Internet of Things, The Collaborative Commons, and The Eclipse of Capitalism. He joins us to discuss the third industrial revolution underway, where Germany is already generating 27% of its electricity from renewable energy, and China is investing an initial $82 billion in an alternative energy internet in which prosumers can make and share their own green energy. We'll also discuss his latest article at the Huffington Post, Beyond Obama's Plan, the New Economic Vision for Addressing Climate Change. And joining us now is Lisa Graves, who is the president of Progressive, Inc. And the publisher of alecexposed.org. She has served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as a deputy assistant attorney general in the Justice Department, as chief counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as a deputy chief for the U.S. courts. She is also a professor of law at George Washington University. Welcome to Background Briefing, Lisa Graves.
Oh, Ian, thank you so much for having me on. And I previously worked with George Washington University, but now that I'm in Wisconsin, I've got my hands full with Progressive Magazine and Center for Media Democracy.
Well, we will update your bio accordingly. you're just hard to keep up with, Lisa.
I appreciate it.
So, what's your reaction then to this kind of disconnect, where Attorney General Holder recently said that no reporter under his watch is going to jail for doing his job? At the same time, the Obama administration joined in pressuring the Supreme Court to uphold the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fourth District of Virginia's decision denying the existence of any reporter's privilege in the First Amendment or common law. So what's going on here?
Well, I hope that Eric Holder keeps his word and does not prosecute this New York Times reporter for reporting about some matters after they occurred based on his investigative work regarding the activities of the CIA. And I think that the statement that James Risen won't go to jail, or any reporter doing his job won't go to jail, I hope there isn't a lot of wiggle room in there, because I think it would be a travesty for this Justice Department, for the Obama administration, to pursue this case in a way that puts a reporter in jail or subjects a reporter to thousands of dollars in fines for not disclosing a source. I wouldn't say that I'm optimistic, but I certainly hope that the Attorney General Eric Holder keeps his word.
So, in terms of the ruling, though, that from the Court of Appeals of the Fourth District in Virginia, it was a 2-1 ruling, and it does seem fairly. One of the judges, I think the dissenting judge, said, yes, it's as clear as mud. I mean, why support that ruling? I mean, I guess without a shield law, there is an ambiguity in the law. And I take it goes back to, 1972, a case? I'm trying to...
Yep.
1972, Brandenburg versus Hayes. So tell us about that case and why it ruling of this court cited that case.
Well, in this in the case at hand here with Mr. Risen, you have a Fourth Circuit, which is an extremely conservative circuit, and you have two judges who were on that three-judge panel that ruled against the reporter. Both of those judges had previously served in the military. And you have a situation in which one of the most conservative courts in the country is basically reinforcing the idea that this reporter has to testify and that there's no shield. That decision in some ways goes back to that earlier Supreme Court decision that you mentioned, the Brandenburg case from the early 1970s. That was a very narrowly decided case. It was a 5-4 ruling. There were a number of new Nixon judges on that court. Ultimately, the court ruled that there wasn't a constitutional privilege for reporters, but the conclusion from many who observed that case at the time so long ago was that there was a recognition that there was a common law privilege for reporters. I disagree with that case. I think that our First Amendment ought to protect and ought to be construed to protect the rights of reporters if it construes the right to have freedom of the press, which is expressly protected in that amendment. I think it's perhaps ironic or pathetic that this Supreme Court, which has gone out of its way to provide protections to corporations, to expand the rights of the richest few, to spend unlimited money to influence elections, to engraft that onto our First Amendment, can't see fit to actually protect rights that are actually in our First Amendment, including the freedom of the press.
So what is then, we don't know what the fate of James Risen is, and my understanding is he's prepared to go to jail. Even if Eric Holder has made this somewhat ambiguous offer, that's the disconnect. The law is proceeding now that the Supreme Court has thrown this back at Risen and exposing him to jail. Who's going to step in first? Is this court going to then go ahead to haul him in and I guess make him testify, which we know in advance he's not going to do, and then he's off to jail. Is that the next step here?
Well, it will be interesting, and I hope it won't be too awful to behold. This is a case in which the Justice Department, the Obama administration, has in fact supported, in some respects, the notion of a privilege, or at least a common law privilege for reporters. It has issued guidelines that purportedly provide greater protections for reporters than previously. At the same time, this administration has pursued aggressively leaks investigations more aggressively than I think all of the previous administrations combined, at least in court, perhaps not as aggressively as Nixon himself. But you have a situation in which you have a very aggressive Justice Department pursuing these leaks cases. And on the other hand, you have new rules that are supposed to provide greater protections for reporters. In the case of Brandenburg, where that reporter back in the 1970s who was doing reporting on on the drug trade in a particular state in Louisville, he was describing, what was happening with the war on drugs that Nixon was pursuing. In that case, after the Supreme Court ruled against that reporter, he left the state. He left Kentucky. He went to Michigan. In that case, the court held him in contempt and ordered him to be sentenced to 6 months in prison, according to one of the great books on constitutional law. And the only thing that protected Mr. Brandenburg in that case was that the governor of Michigan refused to extradite him to Kentucky. Now, in this case where you've got a federal court there in Virginia and you have a New York Times reporter, it's unclear that he could evade the long arm of the law if the court ordered him to be held in contempt or ordered him to be jailed or fined. So I think the risk is great. I think this is a dark day for our Constitution, one of many dark days that is the result of either the action or inaction of this United States Supreme Court and the judges that appear to be far too beholden to executive power.
Well, of course, the irony here is that the same Attorney General is offering this sort of somewhat ambiguous fig leaf, saying that no reporter on his watch is going to go to jail for doing his job, is the same Attorney General, Eric Holder, who in 2011 authorized the issuing of a subpoena compelling James Risen to testify in this trial of the CIA officer Sterling for a chapter in Risen's 2006 book, State of War, about a botched CIA attempt to derail Iran's nuclear program. So that's the part of it that I find extraordinary. And my understanding about this court in Virginia, in Northern Virginia, is that the CIA loves this court because it is so conservative, and they don't want to try them across the river. They always throw the book at them in Virginia.
Well, that's right. The Virginia courts, the federal courts in Virginia, have a reputation for being extremely conservative, being very favorable to the government. You know, I think that in this case, it is, you know, very worrisome that the administration has taken these steps. I actually think, you know, my view of the First Amendment is much closer to Justice William Douglas's view of the First Amendment. I think it's sort of really outrageous that there are rulings that would require citizens to testify before the grand jury against their will. I think that whether you're a reporter who observes something in the course of your investigation or whether you're a citizen who observes something, I don't think the state should compel you to testify against your will, even if you're not incriminating yourself. I think that that's really autocratic. I think it's inconsistent with our core values. But unfortunately, that decision, Brandsburg, in the Brandsburg case, is the law of the land based on that Nixon Supreme Court ruling many decades ago.
And Lisa Graves, again, the president of Progressive Inc., she has served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as deputy assistant attorney general in the Justice Department, as chief counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as deputy chief for the U.S. courts. You pointed out the irony of how much the Supreme Court that just tossed this ruling back to the Virginia Court of Appeals, have gone out of their way to empower the plutocrats in this country, like the Koch brothers and others, giving them unlimited political influence via the enormous financial resources that they have, and equating the right to donate unlimited amounts of money as a First Amendment issue. What's your sense then of where the press is the press standing up to this? I mean, I know perhaps the New York Times is, and I think the Associated Press have joined in the defense of Risen, but I don't see a great tidal wave of outrage.
Well, I think a couple things. One is that there are a number of reporters and reporting groups, as well as networks and others, that have submitted what are called amicus briefs or friend of the court briefs, calling on the court to protect the rights of reporters, to protect the freedom of the press. It just hasn't received much press, perhaps ironically, the press's defense of a reporter. There also has been a tremendous amount of grassroots activity. We know that Roots Action, David Swanson's efforts, along with Norman Solomon's efforts, which my organization, the Center for Media Democracy and Progressive Health, have joined in with, have sought to petition, use petitions to try to defend the freedom of the press, as well as using our own reporting and voices to cover these issues. And so, you know, there are a number of people who are very concerned about these judicial rulings and the actions of the administration. I can tell you from when I was over at the U.S. courts and the deputy chief of the Article III Judges Division over there that, you know, the courts are pretty remote in some respects. They're just, they really don't hear. They're not vehicles for democracy. And so in some ways, the only real vehicles when you're faced with this sort of legal precedent and this sort of push in the courts is to really take your case to the public and to the administration. And so I hope the administration hears from media groups and hears from citizens that they want the freedom of the press protected. They don't want reporters to be hauled into court and threatened with jail or fines and forced to reveal their sources.
Well, I thank you very much for joining us here today, Lisa Graves.
Thank you so much, Ian. Thanks for having me on.
Again, I've been speaking with Lisa Graves, who's the president of Progressive Inc. and the publisher of alecexposed.org. She has served as a senior advisor in all three branches of the federal government, as deputy assistant attorney general in the Justice Department, as chief counsel for nominations on the Senate Judiciary Committee, and as deputy chief for the U.S. courts. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the Obama administration's new rules that the EPA is setting to reduce CO2 emissions from coal-fired plants by 30%.